This conference will now be recorded.
Okay, good afternoon, folks. It's 5 p.m. on Tuesday, January the 26th, 2021. We start our meeting with an invocation and a Pledge of Allegiance. The invocation will be led by Councilmember Fontaine, Pledge of Allegiance by Councilmember Nash. Join us if you'd like.
Please stand. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come here to do your business, Lord. I ask for wisdom for all our city employees and for our city council so that we may do the right things to edify your name and to serve you. In your son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Under the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Next item on the agenda is the roll call. I'll call the roll. Spencer H. Smith, Mayor, is present. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem.
Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, is present.
Thank you. Jennifer McCann, place one.
Jennifer McCann, place one, is present.
Thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three.
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three, present.
Okay, thank you. Linda Nash, place four.
Linda Nash, place four, present.
Thank you. Jody Nicholas, place five.
Jody Nicholas, place five, present.
Okay, thank you. City Manager David Mitchell.
City Manager David Mitchell, present.
Okay, thank you. City Attorney Charlie Olson.
Present, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. City Secretary Julie Helsham.
City Secretary Julie Helsham, present.
Okay, thank you. We have everybody on board and we do have a quorum. Next item is item number four, mayoral proclamations and presentations. I see none.
That's correct, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Next item is item number five, and we're going to take each one of these individually on the consent items. The item number one, discuss and consider approving the minutes of the meetings held on January 12th, 2021, and take the appropriate action. Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
Yes, Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes of the meetings held on January 12th, 2021, as written.
Okay, thank you. And Councilmember Fontaine.
This is Councilmember Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. I would like to second.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Hearing none, I'll poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
It's Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, place one, how do you vote?
Jennifer McCann, place one, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three, how do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Linda Nash, place four, how do you vote?
Linda Nash, place four, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jody Nicholas, place five, how do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place five, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Second item under the consent items, discuss and consider approving an ordinance of the City of Harker Heights, Texas, amending ordinance 2020-06 of the Harker Heights Code to extend the public health emergency declaration through March 2nd, 2021, and take the appropriate action. Okay. Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I'd like to make a motion to approve an ordinance amending the ordinance 2020-06 of the Harker Heights Code to extend the public health emergency declaration through March 2nd, 2021.
Okay, thank you. Do you have a second? Councilmember Nicholas.
I second that motion, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Seeing none and hearing none, I'll poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, place one, how do you vote?
Jennifer McCann, place one, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three, how do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Linda Nash, place four, how do you vote?
This is Linda Nash, place four, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jody Nicholas, place five, how do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place five, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And the motion passes unanimously, 5-0. Next item is item number six, presentation by citizens. Citizens who desire to address the council on any matter may do so during this item. Please understand that while the council appreciates hearing your comments, state law, Texas Government Code, Section 551.042, prohibits them from, one, engaging in discussion other than providing a statement of specific factual information or reciting existing city policy, and two, taking action other than directing staff to place the matter on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Okay, we're gonna, okay, if you'll please, yeah, if you'll please come here and just if you'll state your name and address for the record, please.
Okay, Stacy Wilson.
Yeah, you can go ahead and take a seat.
Okay.
Get your name and address.
Stacy Wilson.
Okay.
Address 2401 Creek Drive, Parker Heights.
Okay, thank you. And please go ahead.
I just had one basic concern. We're going to transition to the new garbage containers, from my understanding, in the month of March, I believe. Just a concern, wanting to know if there will be additional fees if the container is overflowing with additional trash, and if there will be an additional fee if the containers are not removed from the curb at a specific time.
Okay. And Mr. Mitchell, do we, if you'd like to address that?
Yes, additional trash that's not in the cans would not be collected by the operator. He's not gonna get out of the truck to collect any additional trash. That would be dealt with by code enforcement, as the city has now, as well as there are some provisions in our code in terms of how long you can leave your trash can out. Code enforcement usually, I think, hangs a door hanger if someone leaves it out over a certain period and it hadn't been rolled back up. So yes, you are responsible for, you can't just leave the can down at the street. I hope that answers your questions in relation to our current policies.
I think that answered. That was just a concern hearing from various people that are using the services now. So I just wanted to make sure you're not pattering off of the like Killeen facility that are doing like disposals and everything. So, but I just wanted to get that clarified with the city.
Yes, ma'am. And we've got, again, the city has got a lot of information that's out, brochures and the like, but also the with Mr. Mitchell or other cognizant staff that can answer your questions down to more granular level to make sure you're satisfied with the new rollout that we're going to have.
Okay.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Thank you.
If anyone would like to address City Council at this time, please unmute your mic. Telephone callers can press star six.
Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to item number seven, public hearings. I see none.
That's correct, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. And item number eight, old business. I see none.
That's correct, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Next item, number nine, new business. Number one, discuss and consider approving the resolution of the City Council of the City of Harker Heights, Texas, authorizing the city manager to enter into a contract with Civic Plus to provide parks and recreation software services in the amount of $17,661 and take the appropriate action. Parks and Recreation Director.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. This is Jeff Ishay, Parks and Recreation Director. In November 2020, the Parks and Recreation Department canceled the agreement with ActiveNet, the department's recreation software provider since 2012, and that service will end in November 2021. We were required to send cancellation within 12 months of the end date of that contract. Throughout 2020, Parks and Recreation and finance staff communicated with rec software providers about their offerings, and three providers were chosen to demo their programs with Parks and Rec staff, finance, and IT staff, and then have their services scored by Parks and Recreation staff. These three were Civic Rec, Rec Track, and Rec Desk. The scoring criteria was based on financials and reporting, user interface, facility reservations, recreation programming, and park and campground management. And the providers in order of scoring were Civic Rec, Rec Desk, and Rec Track. So before we get started here, I believe, Mr. Bates, we've got a video just detailing what Civic Rec is really, really quickly.
Civic Rec is an all-in-one parks and recreation management software built specifically for local governments. With a simple interface for both staff and citizens, you can manage activities, facilities, memberships, and sports leagues. Civic Rec also offers a point-of-sale system and a ticketing feature built right in. Civic Rec is the easiest and most complete solution for your parks and recreation department. Go to www.civicrec.com to watch a free demo and learn more today.
This is Jeff Shea, Parks and Rec Director. So that gives you a good idea of what Civic Rec is really quickly, but I'm going to cover some of the information as well. In 2012, ActiveNet was kind of the next progression in our department being able to offer the best service to our community. We went from paper registrations to being able to do things online. Since that time, however, our needs have changed as a department, but also the industry has changed. Technology has changed in 9 years quite a bit in every sector, including Parks and Recreation. So obviously, this is like most systems. Civic Rec is a cloud-based multifunctional system that can be utilized for all Parks and Rec programs and facilities. It has a user interface that can be customized to closely match our current city website, which was just redesigned by IT staff. There are one-year term renewals with no long-term contracts, which is a little bit different from our ActiveNet contract. They do have 24/7 customer service and a very simple pricing structure. Now, this is not necessarily what sets Civic Rec apart. This is what a lot of the platforms have now. So what sets Civic Rec apart for Parks and Recreation staff? One is more comprehensive athletic league management. This is not something that ActiveNet did particularly well, and this is something that's very important to us as we have a youth athletic program that has 35 participants in a normal year, and in our adult sports as well. So we'll actually be able to put teams together within the software rather than exporting files and exporting reports and doing Excel documents and things like that. And we'll also have game and field scheduling all in one place. We currently use ActiveNet for registrations, Team Sideline for scheduling. It gets a little confusing, so this is going to be much more user-friendly for both staff and for our citizens. It has an easier and cleaner facility reservation calendar. It's got an easy-to-navigate activity catalog for patrons to utilize online. It has a much improved communication module for text and email communication with the public. So this is going to allow for more customization in our marketing, email marketing, newsletters, things like that. And there are numerous Texas cities that utilize Civic Rec and have recommended it to us as a provider. Among these that are either close in size to us or close in what they offer to what we offer are Fredericksburg, Schertz, Denton, Weatherford, and Keller. And that's just to name a few. We also did score park campground and day use fee park management, and that also scored high. However, I will say all three of these providers scored pretty high on that, and that really is only important if the city progresses towards the acquisition of Dana Peak Park or implements fees at a future facility. So Comanche Gap, if there's point of sale at that park, if there's a store or something like that, that's why we wanted to make sure that we hit park and campground management as well for future use. Also, this is not a feature that will be used at first, but inventory management is an add-on that the department can look at in the future for assistance with our maintenance. So we can do inventory management for anything from picnic tables and chairs out at our parks to pavilions, restrooms, playgrounds, and we can keep track of the condition that those are in throughout the years. So that's something that we can look at in the future. The fees for this are budgeted in our 2020-2021 CIP park improvement, the regular money we have every year. And year one, it's important to note, is included in that cost. In that $17,661, there will not be an additional fee for year one. That's included. So I'll be happy to answer any questions that the council may have.
Okay. Mr. Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Jeff, I see you had five scoring criteria there, and you had them all equally weighted. Is there a reasoning why you had them all equally weighted, or are some things more important than others when you look at this program?
For us, there wasn't necessarily something that was more important than others. These are pretty equally weighted. So each one of these kind of represents a staff member other than the park and campground management, which is more for future use. So financials and reporting, that was big for our finance department. They really wanted to make sure that that worked well with what they use. The user interface, that's us scheduling or grading that based on, you know, what we would see if we were a patron. And then facility reservations and recreation programming, facility reservations on the park side of things was very important for them. They wanted to make sure that it was easy for folks to rent gazebo, pavilion, what have you. And then recreation programming for our athletic staff and for our recreation staff. So it was pretty equally weighted. We wanted to make sure that everybody's concerns were heard.
All right, thank you.
Councilmember Fontaine.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. Yes, Jeff, I'm glad that you mentioned that we have budgeted for this event, and absolutely, as technology moves on, we need to move on with the times, and registering our grandkids is very seamless, so that's what we want to do. We want to continue to improve what we call the foxhole in the military, so you're doing a good job with that, so I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilmember Nash.
Linda Nash, place four. So, Jeff, I just have a couple of questions for you. So this, so I can make sure that I understand it, this is for our present and future use. There's no additional cost if we acquire Dana Peak Park to use this or any other location.
This is Jeff Shea, Parks and Recreation Director. So that depends. Yes, this is for all of our facilities and our programs currently. This is going to change what we use now for everything. But for future use, this is based on revenues, so it's, I want to say, and I'm sorry, I should have this number right in front of me, but I want to say it's 1.99% of our revenue. So if we do generate more revenue through a park, then the fees would go up.
Okay, and I have another question. So the emails will be able to go out to all registered users of Parks and Rec?
That's correct, yes. And as well as, you know, opting into newsletters and things like that, something that we don't honestly do very well right now, given some of our limitations on the program that we're using right now, something that we want people to be able to opt in. That way we're reaching folks that maybe haven't registered yet. I'll just give you an example. Somebody contacted us yesterday that they just moved to the area and missed soccer registration. You know, so they didn't get any communication because they had never registered for something with us. This will allow them to go in, register for our email newsletter or, you know, some other form of communication and get that information.
Thank you.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Councilwoman Nash brought up a point there in which revealed this cap, this fee here for 1.99%. In the event, like, we do acquire Dana Peak Park and there was a lot of revenues generated from that, is there a cap associated with what we will be paying for this service, or is it always going to be increasing with the 1.99%?
Yeah, this is Jeff Shea, Parks and Recreation Director. So there is not a cap, no, but if we go up in revenue, I want to say that the next level was about, this is about 4,700, I think, a year. I think the next level was somewhere between 6,000 and 7,000. So it's not going to be a drastic increase. Say we were to get Dana Peak Park and manage that facility, that would about double our revenue for what we do right now. We're around $250,000 a year in revenues right now. It would generate about that much, so it would probably double the recurring fees. The first year fees would not be, we would not have to do any more training, we would not have to do any more implementation. So it would just be that recurring fee. So it would probably end up being around double what that recurring fee of $4,776 is.
Okay, do we get any increased level of service or support based on the additional revenues that they generate from our sales?
Yes, this is Jeff Shea, Parks and Rec Director. So it will give us a little bit of a different platform than what we're using currently. So obviously managing a day use facility where you charge for day use is a little bit unlike what we do for our parks currently. So there would be a little bit of a module change there. It wouldn't affect any of the other programs, wouldn't affect any of the other facility rentals. But what they would do is they would be able to come in and again, tailor a piece of the website to fit with the campsites and the other opportunities that are provided by something like Dana Peak out there. So they would give us a little bit of an added service, and then training is included in that. So if we had staff that were running the gate at Dana Peak Park, they would be trained on that as well. That's part of the fee.
And additionally, with the Comanche gap in the future, that park, we could expand it to that as well.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions from the council? New business?
I have a question, sir. This is Jen McCann, place one.
Yes, please go ahead.
Hey, Jeff. I wanted to clarify one thing. This gets rid of team sidelines, so where everything's in one spot instead of having to redirect and check team sidelines for everything. Is it replacing that?
This is Jeff Shea, Parks and Recreation Director. Yes, that would be replacing team sideline. Again, we want to make sure that we, you know, our staff is still able to offer the same service. So there may be a little bit more overlap. We might have team sideline for an additional season or two, but we will eventually move towards using Civic Rec for everything. So we will not have two URLs that we have to send out when someone registers for a sport.
Yeah, that's awesome. I use it all the time. So from experience, I'm really excited about it. And from what I read about that particular software system with Civic Rec, it's one of the top ones rated wise. So it looks awesome. I'm glad that we're streamlining it. It'll make it easier for everybody.
Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, in terms of the league scheduling, Councilmember McCann, her kids participate in our sports, should be able to see all of the games, upcoming games, all that stuff in one place. So you log into your account, everything is right there. Much
wonderful.
Easier than we're doing now.
That's great. I'm excited to see it pan out. I'm sure the transition will be a little longer, but still swift. But it's nice because it gives everybody a chance to get used to something new. But it looks really, it looks like a great system. So thank you, Jeff.
Okay, any further questions for the Parks and Rec Director? Okay, thank you. This is new business. Do I have a motion? Councilmember Nicholas.
Thank you, Mayor. A motion to approve a resolution authorizing the city manager to sign a contract with Civic Plus to provide Parks and Recreation software services in the amount of $17,661.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Nash.
This is Councilmember Nash, place 4. I second the motion.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Okay, hearing none, I'll poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, place 1, how do you vote?
Jennifer McCann, place 1, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place 3, how do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place 3, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Linda Nash, place 4, how do you vote?
This is Linda Nash, place 4, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jody Nicholas, place 5, how do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place 5, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And the motion passes unanimously, 5-0. Next item under new business number 2. Discuss and consider approving an ordinance of the City of Harker Heights, Texas, amending section 90.01, definitions of the Code of Ordinances to add definitions of, quote, backyard chicken, quote, chicken coop, quote, exercise yard, amending section 90.39 to authorize the keeping of backyard chickens, providing regulations regarding the location and maintenance of backyard chickens, and prohibiting backyard chickens from walking or flying onto adjacent property, and take the appropriate action. IT Director.
Mayor, City Council, as you recall, back on October 6, 2020, we brought before you a draft ordinance that would allow the residents of Harker Heights to have backyard chickens. And basically, what it does right now is we have, in our current city ordinance, if you have more than 250 feet between your residence and the closest dwelling area from, or your closest dwelling resident or neighbor, you don't have to get a waiver from the city. But if you have less than 250 feet, then you have to get a waiver from the city manager. So we had a lot of interest in having backyard chickens, and it's one of the more popular features or requests that the Pet Adoption Center receives. And so we talked with our legal counsel, and we kind of came up with a draft ordinance that would specify a way for individuals to have backyard chickens without necessarily having to go to the city hall, request a waiver from the city manager, and then us going back every year to make sure that they were still in compliance. So we laid out this ordinance. And what it does is it establishes three several definitions. One is what a backyard chicken is, and we defined a backyard chicken as a female hen, so no roosters, and it has to be a chicken, so no guineas, no cockatoos, nothing like that. None of that fits into this. That provides eggs for personal use, so you can't have a backyard chicken and start selling eggs out of your home. It also describes what a chicken coop is and what a proper chicken coop is and how they can build one, and an exercise yard so that the chickens can have exercise during the day without necessarily being able to free range in your yard. So if you have 75 feet, really you shouldn't have chickens free ranging in your yard. So it defines an enclosed yard for them to be able to exercise in. It also modifies the backyard chickens the offset. And so originally we brought it to you and we were requesting 50 feet. We had some concern from the city council about the 50 feet and that it'd be too close. So we went to check on that. We also brought it before our animal advisory committee, and they too had a little bit of a concern with 50 with what 50 feet would do. So we backed off of the 50 feet. We set it to what the minimum requirement is at 75 feet, and we're going to try that. And if we don't see a major increase in chickens and compliance, then we may bring it back at a later time and see if y'all feel different about lowering it to 50 feet. It establishes that an owner must have a minimum of 3 chickens, and this is because chickens are a social animal, but they can have no more than 6. We feel that 6 is the appropriate number for 75 feet, or for a area of 75 feet. And it says that the chicken coop has to be a permanent fixture along with the exercise yard. They have to get the required permits and inspections from the city, that they have to provide the proper food, water, and medical care. It allows for the chickens to free roam in the backyard if a person over the 18, or if a person, an individual in the household, is over the age of 18, is in direct supervision of the chickens. So that's to cut down on the animal services calls from the neighbors calling in and asking about, I've got a chicken in my backyard, can you come get it? So that's what we're trying to cut down there. Several questions came out of the workshop. The first question was, of course, the distance, so we went ahead and changed it from 75 feet back to 50 feet. The second was a concern about the impact of health, and we were asked to query Bell County Health with regards to the backyard chickens. So staff reached out to Dr. Amanda Robinson Chadwell with the Bell County Public Health, and she referred us to the Center of Disease Control and Prevention. And I've attached a list of what the CDC recommends for backyard chickens, but basically it comes down to how you would handle raw chicken in your kitchen. You need to wash your hands. You don't need to be like having your kids like kiss the chickens and that kind of stuff. And that's the main concern that the CDC had with the chickens. The final concern was the disposal of the chickens. And so the Pet Adoption Center reached out to the company that we currently use to dispose of deceased animals, and they had no problems with us taking in deceased chickens and including them with the already deceased animals going out. With that said, staff does recommend approving this ordinance, and I'm here for any questions that you may have.
Mr. Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. You laugh about the chickens getting kissed, but that has happened, and that's how diseases start. So I want to make sure that there's proper handling methods to be done with chickens. But one of the questions, I have a couple of questions here, Gary. The when they apply for this written permission, one of my big concerns is neighbors that have dogs, because dogs like to eat chickens in addition to people. But dogs, you know, you can't really reason with the dog too much. And if they're out there free roaming in the backyard, we need to make sure that there's proper containment in the backyard, so that way, you know, you're not going to have dogs killing chickens, because that could be a big problem. Have y'all looked at that or addressed that?
Yes, sir. That's one of the reasons that we specified an enclosed exercise yard.
Okay.
So that if someone was in indirect supervision, then the ideal is that dogs and coons and or raccoons and cats and foxes can't actually get to the chickens and then leave chicken parts all over the backyard.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons with the for the exercise yard. We know that the current people that do or that have requested waivers, they have chickens in their backyards, and we really haven't seen a complaint from dogs getting in the backyards right now, killing their chickens.
Okay, I just know that you can't really call the chicken, and the chicken's not going to come running back.
Yes, sir, so, absolutely.
You know, if the dog gets in there, there's going to be some carnage.
Yes, sir. So,
okay. One of the things I want to make clear for, especially for Bob here, so that way it gets put out, but this is not going to impact the current residents that are legally have chickens. So if they don't fall within this restrictive area or confinement, then it's not going to change the way they're handling their chickens now, because there might be some people that see this ordinance and say, oh, we're reining in and cutting down on what the city can do with chickens. That's not the case. This is just to allow those specific people that wanted to be able to have chickens, especially during COVID here, to have fresh eggs and stuff like that. So we were trying to be forward thinking and allow that to occur so that way the citizens could have chickens. But I had one other quick question, which was dealing with this specifically deals with chickens for egg purposes. What about quail? I know some people have had quail in the past. Is that something that falls into this category or not?
No, sir. This is specifically chickens.
Okay.
If they want to have quail or peacocks or guineas or ducks or anything like that, they still have to go through the standard waiver request of specifying that they want to have six ducks and this is how big their property is. If they're outside the 250 feet from their nearest neighbor's dwelling.
All right. Thank you. Very good job.
Thank you, sir.
Councilmember Nash.
Councilmember Nash, place four. I have two questions for you. So per year, about how many of these chicken requests waivers do you get?
I would say probably four or five requests, maybe more. We got a whole bunch of requests at the onset of COVID. And they seem to come in waves. I don't really pay a lot of attention to what's happening geopolitically, but it seems like as events happen, like COVID, then we get a whole bunch of chicken requests, and then or something. You know, someone comes out and says that eggs are like great for the immune system, and suddenly everybody wants to have backyard chickens. And so it kind of comes in waves. Some years it's more. I've seen them. I think we've had 15 one year, but as low as about five to 10 is about average, I would think. Plus the re-requests where we have to go back in, and since it's an approval by the city manager, right now we go back in and recertify everybody each year. So I think we probably have 30 to 40 people on the books, maybe.
Okay. And then my second question, it may sound kind of funny, but do you know what the maximum effective range of a cockatoo on a chicken is? Like, when they start talking, how far does that sound go?
I can tell you that for the most part, roosters, it can actually travel a long way. So with hens, we really have never had any complaints from the people that have the 75 yard offset. And I don't actually live in the city, I live in the county. And we have chickens, and my chicken coop is 33 feet from my house, and I cannot hear my chickens at night once you're in the house. But we only have like six. So I don't know if you had like 20, if that would increase your sound volume, but even when we have county varmint that get into our chicken coop, we wake up to a surprise in the morning. It's not something that's really loud. And it's just me and my wife, so we don't have a whole lot of noise in the house. It's not like we have five kids running around that would block out the noise of the chickens. It's just, they don't make a whole lot of noise, just the hens by themselves.
Just die silently.
They die silently, yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Councilmember Nicholas.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Jody Nicholas, council member, place five. The question I have for you is, in the past, I know we've had some issues with chickens and some of the neighbors that have been, they've jumped over the fence and got out and yada, yada, yada. I understand this exercise yard is really going to fix that, but we can't go back and change, or are we going to let them know?
For anybody that's currently certified, we'll advise them of the new ordinance, and as long as they haven't been waived outside of what the current ordinance is, then they would have to fall under the new ordinance when they're current waivers up.
Okay, that's what I thought. I just checked. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, Councilmember Fontaine.
This is Councilwoman Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3. I just want to say, Gary, thank you, because not only did you adhere to the recommendations that the council had during our workshop, but you went above and beyond, and you went to CDC to make sure that we stay healthy. And for Ms. Nash, I just wanted to share, Ms. Nash, that they go to sleep.
They had all night chickens.
Okay, anything else? Any other questions for the IT director? Okay, back to the council. Do you have a motion? Okay, Councilmember Fontaine.
This is Councilmember Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3. And I would like to move to approve an ordinance of the City of Harker Heights, Texas, amending Section 90.01, definition of the Code of Ordinances, to add definitions of backyard chicken, chicken coop, and exercise yard. Amending Section 90.39 to authorize the keeping of backyard chickens, providing regulations regarding the location and maintenance of backyard chickens, and prohibiting backyard chickens from walking or flying into adjacent property.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Nicholas.
Thank you, Mayor. Jody Nicholas, Councilmember, Place 5. I second that motion.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Okay, seeing none, I'll poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, Place 1. How do you vote?
Jennifer McCann, Place 1. I vote yes.
Thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3. How do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Linda Nash, Place 4. How do you vote?
Linda Nash, Place 4. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jody Nicholas, Place 5. How do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, Place 5. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And the motion passes unanimously 5-0.
And Mayor, if I might, I'd just like to add, if you might want to talk to our attorney, Mr. Olson, before you leave, I think he would consider this one of his crowning achievements as a municipal attorney.
Well, I can't take too much credit for it, but it was an interesting one to work on.
Well, good. And we look forward to our fine-feathered friends in the city of Harker Heights. Okay, moving on. Item number 10, reports of advisory boards and commissions. Do we have any? Okay, moving on, item number 11, items from the council. Councilmember Fontaine.
Yes, Mayor, thank you. This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3. I just want to thank our library staff for setting up the reading on Facebook. I got a chance to participate last week, and it was a lot of fun. I got a chance to read a little Spanish and have a little fun over there. So I'm glad that we have the program. And if you're out there listening, join us on Facebook and have your little kiddos go ahead and join us. That's all I have, Mayor.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, next item number 12. And the item underneath there, receive and discuss the city manager's report.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. You should have the city manager's report in front of you. I'll just be hitting the highlights of it today. I want to point out the AARP. It's that time of year again for their free tax assistance, and that will be at the Harker Heights Activity Center, and that will be by appointment only. And to schedule a reservation or additional information, there is some contact information in the city manager's report, and staff will be glad to assist any citizens that would like to get in contact with this individual. Also, the Harker Heights Senior Recreation Program is currently hosting a membership renewal drive from now through February 1st. They're trying to keep accurate records on file. Members can renew their membership a number of ways, which again is provided in this report. Be glad, again, the Activity Center, library staff will be glad to assist seniors with that, and that is free to be a member of that. Also, members of the Harker Heights Senior Recreation Program can learn how to basket weave with the January Craft Kit. We have that coming up. Also, not all the programs are down right now, Council. We're starting to bring some of them back and using precautions as we do them, but Taekwondo, Hapkido, and sword play, recreational fencing, those classes continue with precautionary guidelines and procedures at the rec center. Also, under the library, I want to point out that the library hours, we do have current hours. We have been open even during COVID, just to refresh the public. We look forward to serving you in 2021. The library offers walk-in service and contactless curbside services. We offer that Monday from 9 a.m. until 6 p.m., Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays from 9 a.m. until 8 p.m. Fridays from 9 a.m. until 6 p.m. and Saturdays 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. And also inside computer use and contactless curbside pickup are available by appointment. So they just need to call the library and library staff will be happy to help them do that. The library is also, their theme, Out of This World, will be this last week of January, and you'll see in the report here they have a number of online programs and events that will be on Facebook. As Councilmember Fontaine just mentioned, lots of activity on Facebook from the library for our citizens and the kids out there. Also, they have a Writers Unite, join our writer support group. That group meets virtually on the second Wednesday of each month. Moving down to Parks and Recreation Council, I just want to point out that our Parks Department will host its first ever disc golf tournament at Purser Family Park, and that will be this Saturday, January the 30th, and registration can be found online or in person at the Recreation Center. Also, in conclusion, Council, I want to point out that youth soccer starts this week, and we have over 350 participants in that. And again, COVID-19 policies and procedures from the fall season, which was very successful, will be applied in this season as well. That concludes my presentation, Council. I'll be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. David, when does the farmers market start in spring here?
That's a good question. I can't remember the exact start date. Jerry, do you remember?
March. And do we have hopefully fruits and vegetable vendors set up this year to start the event?
It should be better this year. That's the hope. I mean, we're going to continue to track kind of an unknown with COVID-19. So we'll have to continue to track that. That could make some tweaks here or there. But hopefully we'll have a much better, successful season.
That was one of the biggest comments that I had from numerous citizens, because I attended just about all of them, I think. And they were always asking, you know, where the vegetable people were. So looking forward to it, though. Thank you.
Councilmember Fontaine.
Yes, Mayor, thank you. This is Councilmember Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3. I have an alibi. I just wanted to thank Jerry for setting up the tour at the second fire station. And David, it was a very nice experience. It's great that we got funding to improve our fire station. It looks really good. And if any citizen out there want to go and check it out, they should. I know we had Ms. Nash came after I did. How did you find it?
It was great. I hadn't been there since 2008, and the improvements, just magnificent.
Okay, anybody else? Okay, thank you. And last item are announcements. And again, just council, any other alibis or save rounds there? Okay, takes us back, doesn't it? So, but good. Well, I've got a couple of announcements there. This is Mayor Smith. So I'd like to piggyback on Councilmember Fontaine. Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist and I were out there with Chief Sims on Friday, a really good tour. And again, it's, you know, the life that our firefighters and our EMT people have. I mean, it's nice to have a really, really good facility. And I think it's one thing I'd ask Chief Sims if you could do is give us some before and after pictures, especially like what we went through with the central fire station, on what that was like for people that are standing alert duty. Also, this last week I had a telephone conference with one of the local Boy Scout leaders, kind of filled me in on what all they're doing, and again, just kind of encouraged them to continue with our youth again and the positive impacts that they have. Today I had a luncheon meeting with Lieutenant General White, the three corps commander, and his primary staff, and also the mayors of Gatesville and Coppers Cove, and that's something we're having on a periodic basis just to discuss issues from Fort Hood and the surrounding community, so we have that dialogue taking place. And there's some other initiatives that will be coming forth with Fort Hood, so they become more in step with the things that we have, like law enforcement and the like. Okay, so that's the last of the announcements. And next item is item number 14, and it'll be the closed meeting. And we'll announce a closed meeting for the following purposes: A, pursuant to section 551.071 of the Texas Government Code, to consult with city attorney regarding pending litigation, Harker Heights Condominiums LLC versus City of Harker Heights et al. And other confidential legal matters, and B, pursuant to Section 551.072 of the Texas Government Code to deliberate regarding the lease of real property. So we'll close the regular meeting right now at 5:44, and we'll reset before we start the closed meeting.